Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your questions and real-life issues and invite your calls to 1-800-677-9377. If there's something you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God offers true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and we invite you to listen and take part to learn how the basic gospel intersects with your life every day. Hear it, believe it, live it. It's Basic Gospel. Now, here's Bob Christopher.
In Galatians, Paul said this in chapter 5, verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." He repeats this in verse 13. He says, "You, my brothers, were called to be free." Well, this month we're talking about grace and money, and certainly a lot of us in America and really around the world today are not experiencing freedom as far as our finances are concerned. We're in debt. We're enslaved to lenders. We're being controlled by that debt. So how do we get out of it? How do we experience true financial freedom? Well, we've given the first two steps to that, and one is to check where your heart is, because Jesus said where your treasure is, there is where your heart is going to be as well. So if you're chasing after the almighty dollar, that's where your heart is. And that chase is going to lead you to not financial independence, but financial dependence. You're not going to be free there. So we need to have our hearts in the right place. The second thing is contentment. One of the reasons we chase after the almighty dollar is because we're not content in life. Well, there's only one place to find true contentment, and that's in Jesus Christ. That's through faith in him. As we've read a couple of times during the broadcast this month, that wonderful passage in John 6 where Jesus made this incredible statement, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Why do we chase after the almighty dollar? Why do we pursue things in this world? Because we're hungry. Our souls are hungry for something. They need to be satisfied. We're thirsty for something, and we think money can buy those things that will satisfy the hungers and quench the thirst. But we find out that's not true. So if we're going to be content, if we're going to have those deep spiritual needs met, we're going to have to come unto Jesus. And when we do, that's when we're going to find true contentment in life. And that's going to give us some opportunities to really make some wise and objective decisions about debt and about money, and to take some steps that are needed to experience true financial freedom. Is it a problem here in the United States? Well, I think we can just look at our own individual and personal statuses and know that it's a problem. But here's some statistics about American households and credit card debt. The average credit card debt is $15,252. Now, the average American household, that's about 120 million households. The average debt there is $7,115. For those who are in debt, you know, there's a lot of households that have zero credit card debt. But those households that are in debt, that's when it jumps up to the $15,252 mark. The average mortgage is $152,000. The average student loan debt is $32,986. Man, we're mortgaging our future. We're putting ourselves in bondage, and we can't even use the dollars that we're getting today for things that we need today. They're already tied up. They're already encumbered. That's not financial freedom, and God has called us to be free, and he's looking at that from a holistic standpoint, spiritual, emotional, financial, every single way that he can lay it out there. He wants us to be free in all of those areas. So where's your heart? Are you finding contentment in the Lord? If so, then you can start drawing upon the wisdom of God to handle your finances in a way that is going to meet all of your needs and help advance the kingdom of God.
Indeed.
Well, let's talk about it on today's broadcast, 1-800-677-9377, 1-800-677-9377. If you're looking for contentment in life, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. If you've learned how to experience financial freedom, we would love to hear about that. If you're looking to experience financial freedom, go ahead and call. We would love to talk to you about that, point you into the Word of God, show you what Jesus has to say about money and how we can take the proper steps to move in the direction that he would have us move. It's a wonderful, wonderful thing to experience spiritual freedom, to know that we're no longer in bondage to the law of sin and death. It's a wonderful thing to experience financial freedom as well, and God wants us to experience both. So let's talk about it. 1-800-677-9377. And in line with our theme this month, we have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It's called Grace and Money. It's a two-message CD series that comes with a book on New Covenant giving. It is really a powerful, powerful tool. We want to put that in your hands, and so that you can see what the Word of God has to say about money, how the Word of God can shape your thinking and your use of money, not only for your own good, but for the good and the furtherment of the kingdom of God. So it's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. All the information is online at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, let's go to Brooklyn, New York, and talk with David listening to us on WMCA. Hi, David.
My name is Jamie. Jamie. Hello?
Yes, go ahead, David.
So my name is Jamie. I would like to say, like the Lord God told me,
David, we're having a hard time hearing you. Can you speak more into your phone or?
Yes, I'm saying the Lord God just told me that.
Yeah, it's a bad connection.
Yeah, David, we're going to put you on hold, and we're going to try to get your question off the air so that we can answer it. We're just having a hard time hearing what you're saying there. So you hang on, David. Okay.
Okay, we've got an email here, and it's not an email directly about money and all of that, but we've also had people ask us, why do we hit so hard so often on things like the assurance of salvation and forgiveness and all of this? And the real question here in this email is, can I denounce my salvation? In other words, do I have assurance or not? And if I can denounce my salvation, what does that mean about contentment?
Well, it's a good question, and of course we have met people and a lot of folks who believe you can lose salvation. Much of their thinking has been shaped by people they have met who have said, you know, I'm denouncing my faith. I'm walking away. I no longer believe in Jesus. I no longer believe in the Christian message. I no longer believe in any of this stuff. And so they walk away. And so you say, well, how do I answer that? I mean, what does the Bible have to say about that? Well, first, the Bible says if Jesus has saved you, he saves you completely. He says he's placed you in his Father's hands and that you are in his hands, and no one can snatch you out of his hands. So there is a security in this salvation that God has provided in Jesus Christ. Also, the salvation that we have in Christ is not merely forgiveness of sins. It's not something that God gives us like a golden certificate that grants us entry into heaven. It's something that takes place internally. Salvation hits us right at the very core of who we are. We go from death to life. That's what it means to be born again of the Spirit, and we become new creatures in Christ. So something radical has happened to us. And for that to be reversed, Jesus would have to lose his life, and he's not going to lose his life. Why? Because it's his life that he's given us. That's whose life that we share in now. So it's impossible to lose salvation. So what is the story about those who denounce their faith? Well, I think what they're probably denouncing is not the true Christian faith, but their understanding of the Christian faith. Maybe they have given lip service to a denominational doctrine of faith or doctrinal statement or that sort of thing. Maybe they've, you know, checked off the boxes on a piece of paper, and so they say they're Christians. But then when life presses in and when they, you know, get involved in other things, they say, well, you know, that's not for me. You know, I thought it was for me, but it's really not for me, and so they go on. So in essence, they're saying we're denouncing that faith, but it's not that they were really ever born again to begin with,
yes.
That they ever had true faith in their hearts.
And the incredible practical reality of knowing that you are saved absolutely because of who Jesus is that is literally the only source of contentment we have.
Yes,
if
indeed.
We don't have that assurance, we cannot be content.
None. Can't have contentment at all if we think that God can, you know, forsake us, that he can just decide, hey, you've crossed the line and I've had enough of you, and, uh-huh. you know, he tosses us away. If we think God is going to do that, that there's a possibility of that, then we're going to live in fear all of our lives. And we can't gain the wisdom of God through a fearful approach to God. I love what John wrote in his first letter about fear. It says, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. So if we think we can lose our salvation, we're going to live, or we're going to be in bondage to that fear of punishment.
Uh-huh.
We're going to look for it at every turn. But the perfect love of God casts away that fear. Why? Because in the perfect love of God, we see that Jesus Christ has taken that punishment for us, and so
yes.
there's none left for us. And that ultimately is going to lead to contentment, which is going to lead to wisdom in how to live our lives here and now.
Yes.
So, great question. Well, let's go to Brooklyn and talk with Jamie, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Jamie.
Yes, hi. The Lord God Jesus told me that no Christians should vote, because we are not divided. Some Christians are Democrats, Republicans, conservatives, or liberal. We should not vote. And the thing is also, why are we not divided, and why do you want this other candidate to be a loser? Because if you want a person to be a loser, that's not love. We should not vote. And voting is not biblical.
Well, Jamie, that's your opinion. I don't think you can really support that in the Word of God, but you're certainly, you know, here in America, you have the freedom to that opinion and the freedom to express it. I think there are some biblical concerns or biblical values, and as believers, we want to be involved in those biblical values. We want to be involved in protecting the sanctity of life. We want to be involved in protecting our religious freedoms. Those are things that are important to Christians, and that's why so many people are expressing their voice in voting. And in other ways. And I think that's a wonderful privilege that we have as children of God. Well, Jamie, we sure appreciate your call today. We're going to go down to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Chrissy, listening to us on WAVA. Hi, Chrissy.
It's Chris.
Oh,
and,
Chris,
hey,
yes.
Guys. I called on Tuesday, and my question was about James 5:15. And, Bob, you said that you think that this verse applies to forgiveness between people, and I was just calling to get more clarification on that, see if I could understand your point a little bit better. Like, I can see it in verse 16, but verse 15 messes me up with that part where it says, if he has sinned, he will be forgiven. So it sounds like you would say that forgiveness that's being offered isn't coming from God, but it's coming from a believer who is offended. So I'm going to try and piece together like a scenario, and you can tell me to what extent I got right. So there's like two people at least in the church, and they're really against each other, and maybe this is causing like physical ailments because of like unforgiveness and anger. And so one of the sick people calls the elders, and the elders kind of make peace between the two, which then leads to them wanting to pray for each other, which then in turn leads to healing. Like, how much of that did I get right?
Well, I think that's certainly on the right path there as far as this is concerned.
Okay, so one thing I don't get, so besides the part where it says he will be forgiven, like it kind of sounds like it's coming from God from the previous words where it says the Lord will raise him up, but also another part that throws me off is the therefore in verse 16, and I'm kind of struggling to see what the therefore is there for, and how the thought in verse 15 connects to the thought in verse 16. Can you give me some insight on that?
Well, Chris, you know, as far as this is concerned, I think we have to go all the way up to verse 7 and look at the, you know, look at the entire context. You know, be patient then, brothers, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits. You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. Don't grumble against each other, brothers. That's the context. That's what he's talking about. Grumbling against each other, that causes all sorts of problems, emotional problems, spiritual problems, and even physical problems. And that's what he's getting at here. Well, we need to seek the mind of the Lord. I think that's what Paul was getting at in his first letter to the Corinthians. There was lots of grumbling going on within that group. There were all kinds of divisions. There were all kinds of backbiting and all of that sort of thing. That was what was happening. And Paul was saying, well, wait a minute, guys. You've been given the mind of Christ. Seek the mind of Christ in these things. So I think James is saying basically the same thing. We need to seek the mind of Christ in these things. And so if there's trouble and trouble's brewing and there's pain and suffering and judging and all of those sort of things, let's come together. If you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy, sing those songs. If you're sick, call the elders and let the body of Christ do its work. Now, where the body of Christ isn't doing its work separate from Jesus, I mean, Jesus is going to be right in the middle of that. And so he talks about the prayer offered in faith. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So it's important that we extend forgiveness one to another. And before forgiveness can really mean anything, there we have to realize that an offense has been done. So if we're confessing that one to another, then forgiveness can flow between one another. I think that's what he's talking about here.
Okay, yeah, and then two people who have forgiven each other would be more likely to pray for each other, and that would then bring about healing.
Absolutely.
So finally, I wanted to get your thoughts on why James started with elders and then transitioned to each other. Like, so it seems like there's only a select few that you need to all in the event of sickness, but then in verse 16 it transitions to each other. So why did he start with elders?
Well, it just says, is any one of you sick, he should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. I think that's just getting the body of Christ involved, elders being those that have been given the charge of overseeing the truth, to make sure that truth is being taught and make sure that the gospel is really being communicated. That's what elders were put in place to do. Not necessarily to be the teachers, but the ones to kind of protect the message, so to speak. Not allow faulty doctrine to get into place. And so he's just saying, call them and have them anoint this person with oil.
Okay, so it's like they were the ones who like initiated the reconciliation between the
absolutely
two people. Okay, that's great. Thank you very much for your help.
You're welcome, Chris. Hey, thanks for your call. 1-800-677-9377 is the number. We would love to hear from you if you have any biblical questions that you need help on. If you have questions about contentment, about the use of money, we would love to hear from you. Again, 1-800-677-9377. Let's go to Bloomfield, New Jersey, and talk to Navarre. Hi, Navarre.
Hello. God bless you guys.
And to you as well.
My question is, he's a preacher. He has a radio show. His name is Dr. Brown. And he has come out with a book called Hyper Grace. And, you know, I've been investigating grace, and I just want to know the truth. And essentially, he points out that there has to be a period of sanctification that we as soon as we accept, we don't turn perfect. And it is a possibility that we can lose our salvation because not because of any, you know, maybe a sin that we do here and there, but a willing sin. So I want to know, what is your reaction to this movement against the grace movement? I don't understand anything.
Well, Navarre, I don't know. I met Dr. Brown recently, several weeks ago. He gave me a copy of his book. I've actually read through that. He has some wonderful things to say. I like right up front how he defines grace as really the empowering presence of God to move in us to do and carry out the life that he's put in us. I think he's got a good working definition of the grace of God, but he's certainly reacting to a lot of people who I think are saying some things about the grace of God that aren't true. There's a couple of places that I disagree with Dr. Brown on. One would be the fact that we can lose salvation. I don't think we can lose salvation. I don't think the Scripture teaches that we can lose salvation.
It's a forfeit salvation.
Yeah. Well, salvation is given to us by Jesus Christ. So our salvation rests upon his shoulders and upon his work. So he's not going to undo the work that he did to save us to kick us out, basically. Jesus Christ isn't going to do that. He's our guarantee of salvation. The fact that he finished his work, the fact that he took away our sins once and for all, the fact that he was raised back to life and has come to live inside of us and has promised that he will never leave us nor forsake us is our guarantee. So Jesus is the one that guarantees our salvation. So as long as he's alive, then we can know if we're saved, we're saved, we're saved. It's just as simple as that.
Okay, one last question. Okay. I have a brother, right? He became a Christian, and, you know, he had the fruit of repentance, right? But let's say he goes back into the world. Is he still safe? If he goes back to his old manner of living, drinking, smoking, and all these other things, is he still safe because he was saved once?
Navarre, that gets us right back to the very nature of salvation. Salvation is being made alive together with Christ. It's being born again of the Spirit. When that happens, Navarre, Jesus Christ comes to live inside of a person by his Spirit, and he becomes a new creature in Christ. So maybe the things of the world draw him back for a period of time, but God's Spirit will not allow a person to stay there. That's just the way it is. Or they'll get so down on themselves, they'll just become miserable in that state if they're truly saved. But if they're truly saved, they are truly, genuinely saved. God's grace is more powerful than any of our sins. And we just have to realize that it's more powerful than our sins, and God's grace can move us, can pick us up from where we are and get us back moving in the right direction. Navarre, great questions today. Sure appreciate it. Keep growing in grace. Keep looking at the Word of God. Keep trusting God's Spirit to reveal to you what His grace really means. And I think you'll just be blown away. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We certainly appreciate all those who called in on today's program. Wonderful, wonderful questions. We do have a great offer for you. Called Grace and Money. It is a two-message CD that really takes a look at all of the basic aspects of how we're to use money in a proper way. Worship, contentment, stewardship, and giving. We would love to put this in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel this month. It also has a wonderful little booklet called Giving the New Covenant Way. Looks at attitudes toward giving. I think it will really rock your world in a very positive way. All the information on how to get a hold of that resource is at basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Well, for Richard and for the entire Basic Gospel team, my name is Bob Christopher. We'll look forward to seeing you again at this same time on Monday.